Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, Andrew Kolsky here with Sleep Science Today, where we talk to you about sleep issues and everything related. Today, we're going to be talking with RJ Adolfi. He's in healthcare administration and works with scaling operations of dental and medical organizations, but he's got a really interesting background and a lot of stuff for us to talk about related to diet, environment, all sorts of things related to sleep. So, RJ, welcome.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate you having me. Great to be here.
I'm glad you were able to join us. So, you know, I know that you have a background with a lot of medical things, and you've been doing a lot of work with dental, but I also know that as an individual, you have a very good background with food and comparing food between like the United States and Europe and other countries. And I really wanted to start off today's conversation about that. And the reason I'm saying that is because when we talk with people about sleep, and in my practice, when I talk with patients about sleep, they come in because they want to improve their sleep, of course. So yeah, we're going to focus on their sleep. But what they don't think about and what we don't often talk about is you're a whole person. And as a whole person, not only is your sleep impacted, but your sleep is also impacted by your diet, by your exercise, etc. So let me open the floor to you and get your initial thoughts on that, and let's go from there.
Yeah, I think, you know, from what I've learned, I spent my entire professional career just assisting, being able to assist what I call angels, you know, caregivers. I've been on the administrative side and being able to give, help give the venue and just make it accessible to let the caregivers and the angels practice the way they do. So, and saying that, I've been able to be like very an objective view, right? Because I'm not treating anybody. I'm seeing in layman's terms, because I'm not a doctor, the literal results of or the symptoms of some of these things that I've noticed in the peripheral of these super healthcare practices that I've worked with. Amazing and, you know, just incredible doctors, just really, I mean, just incredible minds with forward thinking and what works, you know, and so what I've noticed over the years, it's everything, obviously, what we absorb with our five senses, right? Okay. And I use the frame as when you get up in the morning, and what do you see? And what's the vibration in the room? What's the energy? What's the smell? What's the sight? What do you see? I mean, everybody has childhood memories of their favorite waking up in the morning and maybe something's on for breakfast that you knew was cooking bacon, for instance, or, you know, whatever it may be. A meal and a sense of smell brings back memories that would be lost forever, right? And I think it's the same thing with sleep and the different nuances of when you go through your day. And what do those things do? What do you absorb when you go to work? What's the energy? What's the true vibration, the energy? How does it make you feel being there and the people that you're around? And that affects your sleep, you know, and certain things, like obviously what we eat affects our sleep, right? And spiking things. And you know, I'm a firm believer of talking about the 800-pound gorilla in the room, no pun intended.
Right.
Right? Because everybody talks about everything now but the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Because that's hard. It's hard to deal with the 800-pound gorilla.
It's really hard. And I want everybody to go to the very first, and it's probably really coincides chronologically mm-hmm. with this time. You'll laugh when I say this, but I want everybody to go look at Deputy Dog. Google Deputy Dog cartoons. That's the first person, by the way, that had sleep apnea, everybody. Okay, that's the first one that used the CPAP, right? Deputy Dog, when you see Deputy Dog in the cartoons that I'm talking about with the drawn-out eyes and the droopy jaw and face because they're breathing through their mouth and they're not breathing through their nose, you want to change your life? Breathe through your nose the rest of your life. 99% of your breath should be coming through your nose.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was designed. I mean, if you look at mine, I'm from Rome, New York, but I have a Roman nose. I'm Italian, too, but my nose roams all over my face. So your nose is set to, I have a better face for radio, but your nose is set to do all the things that it's supposed to do and design. Your mouth's not designed to breathe air.
Right.
As crazy as that sounds, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've gotten into the physical things with your listeners, but everything along the way and how our choices have diminished and is really affected. Sleep apnea was never even a thing, or any of this stuff was a thing 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of, you know, for betterment of society or whatever they're limiting us to eat. And it's amazing. There's another scale that shows the ingredients of food
mm-hmm.
in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
All major food suppliers, and then it shows the ingredients for the same product today, and there's 30 to 40 more ingredients in each product.
Yeah, see, that's something that I really want to spend a little bit of time talking about here. And I was sharing with you before the show that recently I was over in Europe and France in particular, and the food that I was eating there, I went to the grocery store just like any person in France. I went to regular neighborhood grocery and I bought yogurt and I bought cheese and I bought just basic things. And eating the yogurt, for example, it was so flavorful, so creamy, so fulfilling, totally, totally different taste than what we have here in the U.S. And I started looking into it, and just like what you're saying here, the ingredients list. You know, I read an article recently about how the same loaf of bread that you would buy in France and then buy in the U.S., in France it has a couple ingredients, actual real food that you can understand what it is, and then you get to the U.S. and you have all these additives for shelf life and stability and I don't even know what all the things are. Tell us more about that.
Well, I mean, do you think, you look at a Dunkin' Donuts drive-through line. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the 800-pound gorilla again.
Okay.
You look at the Starbucks drive-through line. You look at the Chick-fil-A drive-through line.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're just selling coffee and food? You think you're just digesting coffee and food when you're digesting that food? Do you think that line's wrapped around that building because that's all you're digesting is a coffee bean or some food?
Not anymore, I don't.
So that's one of the insights if you just look at that face value, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get a different cup of coffee at a local diner like you would at a local bodega or whatever is in Europe, in Paris? You know, you go to the local cafe and to get your baguette and you can sit inside or out and depending on this time of year and enjoy it, right? And it's real food.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to one, they've created a product that everybody is eating, but by the time anybody from Yum Brands right down have manipulated it to compete. So now they put addictive things into it.
Okay.
to change the playing field. And all you got to do is drive by the biggest line to see who's got the best drugs that are working the best. I mean, think of it that way, as opposed to personal choice and service. And maybe the story from the people that you're actually buying and becoming a contributing member of society with, mm-hmm. you know, that you're doing in exchange for what their goods are that they're proud of. That isn't by the wayside, but there's no more choice for it. And in Europe, you have choice because it's very regional and it's much more personal. You know, right. You just look at Italy and the different areas and the way that's named. And they're proud of what they do in Bologna, you know, and then, mm-hmm. and for instance, and so on. So it's like, listen, it's you have to defend yourself. You have to. There's no one. The mainstream is going to defend you. You know, you're going to change. But it is our choices.
Mm-hmm.
And they're limited, and it's not food. Well, you know, any energy drink, Mountain Dew is like bathing your teeth in acid.
Hmm.
That's what Mountain Dew is. I've seen a meth mouth from being in the dental industry.
Mm-hmm.
We're in every state in the country, and seen every state in the country many times. In certain states, they have what they call meth mouth, right?
Okay. Where
their teeth are rotted from methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's way worse than meth mouth? Is dew mouth. And I was in a practice, and I saw, you know, some patients that were in the waiting room as I was sitting there, and they had this tremendous trench mouth.
Hmm.
And they were a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that can't be meth mouth, right? And they said, well, no, that's Mountain Dew mouth. They put Mountain Dew in the baby bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
As opposed
wow.
to the milk, because they don't have any for
right.
you.
Right.
Right. And so you could see the circular rot of their centrals.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I've been to these. I've traveled extensively, you know, mm-hmm. Russia, China, Africa. Seen all kinds of stuff. And this is one of the most horrific things I've ever seen. So energy drinks and Red Bull, I mean, gives you wings, you know, it's like bathing your teeth in acid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like bathing. So if I'm saying that it's like bathing your teeth in acid, look at the ingredients,
right?
Like bathing your teeth in acid. And then what do you think it's doing to the rest of your body, your esophagus and going down through your stomach and then affecting, and it's the same thing that, you know, no one really wants to talk about, but it tastes different.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Sugar's great, right? Ketchup's great. You know, like, you're really proud to be working for ketchup? Yeah, because everybody thinks we just put tomatoes, we sterilize tomatoes, put them in a squeeze bottle, and we're Heinz ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that we demand a certain percentage from the sugar cartel, because there's tons of sugar cups full in each one of these squeeze bottles.
Mm-hmm.
4 to 6 cups of sugar. That's what you're putting on your hot dog or your hamburger or whatever you're putting your ketchup on.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you think about it, and because, you know, we're comparing U.S. and Europe, for example, in the food mm-hmm. supply. So on one hand, U.S. being the type of economy that we have, a capitalist economy. Okay, if I'm a food producer, yes, number one, I want to make something that people are going to like and want because I want them to buy more, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to look for ingredients that are cost effective so that I can make the food affordable to the customer base that I'm trying to get to. So there's a lot of pressures to compete with other food producers and all of these things, which means adding sugar, adding salt, adding fat, adding these things make your food more desirable to people. Now, the other hand, in the U.S., the other thing we have is personal choice. So if you are a consumer and you decide I don't want to have those chemicals anymore because, you know what? They're impacting my sleep. They're impacting my ability to sit still in a meeting because I've got all this caffeine in me or whatever it may be. We do, luckily, have choices. We have different organic markets, for example. In my neighborhood, there's an organic market, and on their website, they list this long, long list of chemicals and ingredients that they will not allow in any of the foods in their store. And I really appreciate the fact that they do that because it tells me that when I go in there, I'm going to be getting stuff that doesn't have all this, you know, chemicals in it. And so we can make that choice. The challenge is the cost is going to be higher and it's harder to get to because there's less of those stores. But if we're having trouble sleeping, purpose of this show, and we want to improve our health, then maybe those are some choices we should be thinking about.
Yeah, the cost is higher to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
The profit margins and the cost to everybody else is the reason why the cost goes up is because they're limiting and making it a limited and making it more expensive to do it right.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me stop you.
Less expensive to do it right.
Well, let me stop you for 1 second because I got to go to a commercial break, but we'll come right back in just a second and we'll continue our conversation. So hang on, everybody.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, Andrew Kolsky with Sleep Science Today. We're coming back. We're talking about food right now and how it impacts our sleep and our health with RJ Adolfi. So sorry to cut you off earlier, RJ, but
got to pay the bills.
So, you know, this is not a show about going into each individual chemical and describing what it is and what it does and whatever, but we're talking about in general. You know, you've referenced several times the 800-pound gorilla. It's like you can't expect that all of the things in your life are going to be going well unless you start to address all of the things in your life. So, you know, if you find that you've adopted a sedentary lifestyle and you're eating a lot of processed foods and sugars and things, you know, if your breakfast consists of a donut and a soda or a donut and coffee, well, okay, you're getting sugar, you're getting caffeine, but are you getting any nutrition to run your body off of? And so you go through these highs and then crashes, and then you don't have time in the middle of the day because you're picking up the kids or you got a work meeting or whatever, and you grab that candy bar, sugar, and then, you know, you make it through the day, you get home, you're exhausted because you have no nutrition in your body, and then I'm so exhausted, let me just go get some takeout because I don't have time or the desire to start cooking food. And again, what are you getting? You're getting salt, you're getting fat, you're getting sugar, you're getting high fructose corn syrup, and repeat. So then we wonder, why are we having trouble sleeping?
Exactly. You just identified, you know, unfortunately, the majority of American lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at any picture in the 40s, 50s, on the beach in America, and it's unrecognizable today.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to take there's not one obese person that's on there, and it was because of the clean food that people were eating.
Yeah,
you know, and clean food is, you know, your body's an amazing thing, right? Everybody's body's a miracle, and it's an amazing thing, and you know, I helped the ones who hated me, you know, and so I'll just throw that out there to the audience. But your body's an amazing thing. If you go, now I don't recommend to do this, and please consult your physician. But if you go through and you educate yourself on fasting, mm-hmm. and you go to a 7-day fast, your body completely almost resets itself to start eating clean food again. And don't introduce any of the other food that you're in. Okay, now are you going to go with through withdrawal? Yes, you are. If you're mainlining Red Bull and cigarettes in the morning, you know, as soon as you wake up, and Mountain Dew or a Pepsi or a Coke, you know, in the morning, then you're going to have other side effects from all the other things that you're doing along the way that you have to go through in this time. But your body completely would reset and forget, because what it does, it's almost like sleep, right? So in sleep, there is no past, there's no future. When you're sleeping, as you know, when you go to sleep, your body and your mind and everything has no recollection that you were sleeping once you wake up. You wake up in the same exact point you were when you fell asleep. It's amazing to people. And it's the same thing. I draw that same exact analogy. So in the reference of just the food and in the order, and your body is constantly fighting the food in which you're absorbing because it's poisoned. Okay? So if the food that you're absorbing is poisoned, like you said, it's going to affect everything else in your body. It's going to affect everything else. There's going to be so many side effects that you wouldn't even draw a correlation to. You know, I tell everybody from what I've learned working with neurosurgeons, working with cancer institutes, I've worked with healthcare and general medicine, men's medicine, and all this stuff. I say it's basically what is the poison, how it's affecting you, and how can you relate to what it is. And how can you pinpoint in your life what is the detrimental thing that's happening? Now, when people say genetics, I don't believe that either. Because the way your body operates, your body is constantly trying to defend itself from everything that's going on in the world with the food supply, with the water supply. I mean, don't even get me started with, you know, with in the air supply. I mean, if you go down any of these rabbit holes, which stand to be pretty true, I mean, people aren't going to be, you know what a conspiracy is just something that needs a little bit of time so everybody realizes it was the truth. They're not going to be able to deal with it. Like, and I don't think that it's like, you, people don't give the general public enough credit. They're a lot smarter than you ever dreamed to be in, you know? And so when you think of all the different ways that it's coming at you, it's definitely an uphill battle with your body and what you're looking at and how you're going about it. You know, you really got to listen to it, and you got to listen to those algorithms of where you're at.
Yeah, you know, I as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, I think it would be a really interesting experiment for anybody. Listeners, you know, because I've done it myself, actually. And the experiment is this. One day, go out and have fast food meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a nice burger, fries for dinner. You know, breakfast is going to be what you get at one of the fast food restaurants. And then after you've eaten that meal, think about how you're feeling in terms of in your gut. You feel that heavy, weighed down, lethargy, so on and so forth. And then the next day, go and eat things that are actual fruits, vegetables, lean meats, fish, whatever it may be, without being processed, without coming pre-covered in chemicals and sauces and all this stuff, just real food. And I guarantee you, when you finish that food the second day, you will not feel any lethargy. You're not going to feel that heavy weight in your gut. You're going to feel more energized. You're going to feel more alive, and you're going to feel lighter. And that should say something to you.
It definitely does. People don't listen to their rhythms, and they have to, and they make a choice, and then they complain about it. You know, it's like make a choice and complain about it. And you do have a choice when you start becoming really cognizant of it. You know, really smart doctors have told me in the past, you know, everything works in perfect harmony when you're born as a healthy baby.
Right.
You know, and your bowel movements. And that's how you should have a bowel movement. And that's how you should have, you should pass your urine. And you should do that in a very timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't even do that because they are wondering why. But that's how you should work. You know, I mean, people understand that their gag reflex is the most. And we were talking about this before as we were speaking, you know, in different countries before Gerber baby food, because it was so soft, babies ate nuts. And before formula, babies nursed more. No more babies nursed. And it developed all the things that are naturally need to develop for a big arch. You know, and you have to have a live palate in your mouth and a live arch. And then by nursing, it brings your jaw down and out. And it's proven in those countries because they, at a young age, they ate harder foods and nuts and berries. And I've been to countries and seen this myself. And 80 to 90% of the babies nurse to 1 to 1.5 years old. So they're developed all the things which brought their jaw down and forward. It opens up the palate of their mouth, increases their arch, all these things I just spoke about, mm-hmm. naturally. And so your esophagus and the rest of you are opened. And then, as you just said, when you eat that food, you feel so good, you feel so light, right? And you notice, oh my, wow, my wedding ring, it's looser on me. And wow, yeah, I've been doing good. And I've, you know, and you feel like your watch, it's on, or your belt or something like that. It's the same thing with your larynx and your esophagus and your throat and the airway that opens up. Let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla. It's in your throat, you know, because you have to open up that airway and you can do it naturally, you know. But when you see Deputy Dog and you're drooping and you're breathing through your mouth and your eyes are drawn down and your mouth is open all the time, you're more susceptible to get things in there that your nostril hairs were designed to prevent. But your mouth doesn't. So you're getting more susceptible to disease. You're more worn down because you're not getting the two things that your body needs more of, which is oxygen and blood. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting any oxygen, you know, I was telling you this story too. My friend has runs a resort down in Florida, this huge golf resort near Orlando. And a bunch of old high school guys that were in their 40s and 50s were always come and they rent it, 9 of them. And it's a mansion and you know, that they rent out. And he called me and he said, you won't believe this, after they all went to the course this morning, I was there with the cleaning team and, you know, we were setting everything up for their arrival to come back from the course. And I went through every one of the rooms as I was inspecting and every one of the nightstands had a CPAP on it. I was like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. And he's like, you've never had one of those. I go, absolutely not. I would not, you know, it's a mold machine, number mm-hmm. one. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the CPAP companies are going to terrorize me, but it's a mold machine. Anywhere there's moisture, there's mold. Mm-hmm. So you're literally forcing mold into your body. So don't do that anymore. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, we use all these to take shortcuts, which is always the longest road,
mm-hmm.
right? It's always the longest road. Do you think the oil and gas industry, which makes $3 billion a day in profit, is going to give up any development?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the desecration that a windmill or a cell phone battery does to our world geographically and topography? Destroys it. Renders it useless,
uh-huh.
that area, right? Permanently. It's like no worse than go to the geysers in, you know, one of our national parks and dip your foot in one of those, you're dead.
Yeah. Wow, I don't think I'd want to do that.
Right. But people don't realize that some of those geysers that come out of the ground, we already do that chemical and it's not good for you.
Uh-huh.
So not to get on a tangent, but very easy to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, real important. So it's like you said, it's everything that makes you feel like better, healthier, you say choices, but people don't have a choice, so or they're accessible. And then what I say is the longest road, right, is the shortcut is usually the longest road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's with the food supply. You saw it yourself as you were in Paris. And the pride is gone, and the local camaraderie is gone with the purchase.
Mm-hmm.
When you went into my Uncle Joe Adolphe's Foodland grocery store when I was a kid, he was in the back of the grocery store in the meat department, which looked over the whole grocery store and the front doors and stuff. And he had a huge cowbell, and he was calling your name or your family's name as you walked in that store.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds and hundreds of people came in the store every day. It's a huge grocery store. But he would call these people's names and ring this cowbell. You know, and you saw the stuff in Paris, the Parisians as they were talking to each other, and they weren't even talking French, they were talking Parisian, you know. They're the locals that see each other every single day, and they know exactly, but we just don't have that in a timely fashion like they don't. But you do. You can choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can choose to, like you said, you can choose to find that grocery store in your neighborhood, the one that you can really, and if you really take the long, I always say, you know, you can take time for your health, or else you're going to be forced to take time for your illness.
Right. You know? Let me stop you here for another commercial break. We got to get that in, and we'll come right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
All right, Andrew Kolsky with Sleep Science Today. We've been talking diet and food and some of the things that also impact our bodies and our sleep, other than just straight sleep things. So, you know, I do want to make sure that we talk about one other thing that you had mentioned earlier on in the broadcast. And when you had said it, what came to my mind was this. When we talk about people maybe looking for a new job, we say, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And when you and I were talking before the show, we were talking about sort of the bedroom and the living environment that people have when they're sleeping. And how, you know, if they have bad sleep and they're having trouble with their sleep, and then they wake up and the environment that they wake up in is cluttered and dirty and dim light and so on and so forth, you know, there's a big difference between dressing your bedroom for the sleep you want versus what you have. So I'm just curious to hear more of your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, I go back when I do my conferences, I go back and say, you know, what's a really good sleep is in the summertime, late summer, when it's starting to cool off and there's no humidity, and you got fresh sheets on your bed, and you just took a shower before you went to sleep. Wasn't that a good sleep? Well, why do you think that's so? You know, and everybody does exactly what you just did. They all laugh, you know. And I use that analogy because when you really look at it and you go about your day in that same fashion, the results ends up being the same. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have a sign by my front door, and it says, it's a good day for a good day.
Hmm. I like that.
And so you start with, it's a good day for a good day. And then I look at it like, okay, you're not going to get me. You know, I'm driving down the road and I see Dunkin' Donuts, or I'll see McDonald's or a Burger King or any of these places. I don't frequent any of them. And I'll just say, you're not getting me. You know, I know where you're at, but I'm going to go see this person and have a conversation while I'm getting it. And it's not because I can afford to do it, it's because I've navigated the area that doesn't waste the same time, any more time, but it's a different experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I hate impersonable service. I'm just old school.
Right.
You know, I like impersonable service got confused with consistency and efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are those two things oil and water? They're not. You know, you can have personal service and still expedite the whatever you need to do. You know,
right.
And by the way, no one tempers the temperament of the customer or tempers the temperament of their coworkers
mm-hmm.
or temper the temperament of that. You know, that's what you have to constantly do to make concessions or not, or just temper the temperament of the energy that's around you. You know, and that's a big difference, I think, in your sleep, in your day, and how you go about things. And, you know, what you do is they say you have a monkey brain. It's really busy.
Mm-hmm.
They use that analogy in psychiatry. They have a monkey brain, your monkey brain, and you're going to try to turn that off. And you use the analogy of one of those old football toys that we used to play with. Remember all the players you'd put on this thing and you push the button, it vibrated.
Yep. And yes.
And you think of your brain as you're doing that, but the environment in which you fall asleep in, even though when you sleep, like I said, there's no such thing as the past or the future when you're sleeping, but the environment in which you sleep in, fall asleep in, and the environment in which you wake up in. Now I'll go one step further. She said, and I'm not picking on, I've heard this from men and women. She said, or he said, I can't sleep without my fan on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, you injured your leg, okay? You got a crutch. You're perfectly healed, but you're still using the crutch. Now you walk with a limp. You never should have used the crutch to begin with. You should have just started walking again. Mm-hmm. So I have this fan because it was drowning out the other noise, right? So the drowning out the other noise is what I should have got used to. As opposed to putting a fan next to my head, now I can't, made another reason why I can't sleep, as opposed to preparing myself to have a nice night's sleep because that other noise that's out there I'm already used to.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost one of those things. So don't use a crutch, because a crutch just gives you another crutch.
Right.
You know, and sleeping specifically, you know, and you have to have a dark room, and I understand that. And so my sons, when they learn to drive, I have two boys. One just was a 5-year U.S. Marine, goes to the University of Tennessee. I got to put that out there. Down in Knoxville, that's my Spencer Thomas. And my other Wyatt Henry is a developer here in Charleston, South Carolina. And when they were learning to drive, right, I'm from upstate New York, right, snow country. Everybody's getting that snow, the lake effect right now. I would wait. When it was time for Wyatt to drive, it would be storming down here in Charleston. Rain, storm, wind, blowing, stuff like that. He's 15 and a half years old. Like, come on, let's go in the truck. You're going to drive. Well, what are you talking about? It's got to be a sunny day. It's the first time I'm ever driving. No, we're going and we're driving in this. So I taught them both how to drive in the most miserable weather you can pick. If it was a clear, sunny day, they're not learning nothing but how to turn the radio on.
Right, you know? Right.
So I made them drive in all kinds of conditions and all kinds of situations, and that's where they learn to deal with it, as opposed to, and you really can, when you're super quiet, right, and around a child, they can't sleep after. Mm-hmm. But if they're acclimated to the noise, and the other thing too, and this will really, I think, resonate with your listeners, everything was so hyperallergenic these days with the growing up from 19, I'm saying, you know, 50 on, started to become all this, you know, selling vacuum cleaners, which made everybody susceptible to every disease that's out there. Now, I'm not saying go roll in the mud and get infantigo, right, which hasn't been around in years, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that everything is so sterilized these days that you're not, that's why you have asthma.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have allergies. That's
right.
Why you have these things, because you're so susceptible, because you've been so, you know, the one thing that I've heard that was so ingenious is disease has wiped out more people, like 100 times more people than anything else in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. Even Genghis Khan, he didn't even have a chance compared to disease. We're never going to be invaded by another species. And one of the main reasons is because we're acclimated to all the diseases and microbes that are on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We've been acclimated. We've through adaptation over the last couple thousand years, we've been acclimated to these diseases and to these microbes. Anybody else who shows up here, it's like the pilgrims showing up with the Indians. You're dead. You know, you're dead Indians. You're dead pilgrims. You're both dead because we just gave it, and it's the same thing. So that's one of the reasons why we'll never be, I think. That's mm-hmm. just my hypothesis from layman's terms, you know, hockey player talking. But, you know, it really does affect what you're doing and how you're sleeping.
You make an important point there. And what that is, the way that I'm interpreting all this is, you know, again, in America, in American culture, when we grow up, we learn that if there's something wrong, we go see the doctor. The doctor gives us a pill. We take the pill and everything's fine again. And we continue that cycle and we don't think about the food we're eating. We don't think about the habits we have. We don't think about anything that we're doing. When you get into sleep, how many times have you talked to someone who says, oh, I've had trouble sleeping, and what have they done? They went either to the sleep doctor or their primary care and got a pill, or they went to the local pharmacy and they bought over-the-counter melatonin, sleep aid, you know, you name it. There's all sorts of things on the market.
Yeah.
And they get acclimated to these. And then, you know, when they come to someone like me and we start talking about really improving their sleep, not taking a pill to mask it, they don't need the pills. They don't need any of this stuff, but they need to have a desire to do the work to change and get back into a natural rhythm of sleep. And when they do, the results are amazing because they're long-term. Mm-hmm. You don't need to take that pill or have that glass of wine or whatever it is that you were doing before, because it doesn't work in the long run. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, doing it the right way, addressing the 800-pound gorilla in the room, addressing the issues so that you recalibrate everything so that you're back into that cycle. Like you were saying, when you were born, you knew how to sleep. You didn't have to be taught.
Mm-mm. You knew how to sleep and you knew how to adjust to what your body needed naturally. And like you said, you do such a great service because you change that algorithm of why are you falsely, you know, you're just, all you're doing is masking your symptom.
Right.
You know,
right.
As opposed to just addressing the symptom. And one of the things you hear from a lot of people who lost weight, and, you know, I was a hockey player, I played at 220 pounds, so I've always been a big guy, right? But I've always eaten clean. You know, mm-hmm. not big on, you know, snacks and cookies and any of that kind of stuff. But I eat a lot of it, you know, that's what my, that. And but it has to really, like you just, you have to, a lot of people who've lost weight have said this to me. I feel better than the food taste, RJ. You know, I feel now that I've lost the weight, I feel better than the food taste.
Right.
And it's the same thing which you're telling people, you know, I just don't do this thing to mask, you know. Now, and people always shoot me all the time, but I mean, a shot of whiskey before you go to bed. No, that was the first narrative. Let's just numb it. Let's just get it out. That's why they call it booze and a spirit. I mean, don't do it. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like you're going to feel better if you don't. Now, eating habits and, you know, most of the time, just look at how we were really designed to eat. You know, breakfast, as we know, is breaking your fast.
Right.
Because you've just woken up. That's why they call it breakfast.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they invented eating a breakfast. But how many people do you know in the history of the world? Well, nobody knows them now because they're all dead. People in the history of the world didn't wake up, roll over, and grab a trout. They didn't roll over the other way or, you know, over the top of their family member or whatever and grab a rabbit. You know,
right.
It just didn't, like, you know, the rabbit wasn't like laying next to him. You know, it took them at least till lunch or dinner, if at all, to get something.
Right. Okay?
And then they had to prepare it in the whole nine yards and not get eaten themselves while they're eating it.
Right.
So, you know, like the other thing is too, we're not designed, like, It's funny. Like, my son, Wyatt, his metabolism, obviously, everybody's different, is completely different than Spencer. Wyatt, if he doesn't eat in 6 hours, he goes Snickers. I knew hockey players that I played with on my hockey teams. If they didn't eat something or get something in their system every couple, 3, 4, 5 hours, they probably had bad sugar or whatever it was. You know, they probably had some kind of some form of diabetes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they needed to eat. They got dizzy and they had to have something, right? Other guys, you could go forever without anything and you were fine. You felt great. And, you know, and so that's the other thing. You have to listen to your body. But the best time to eat is in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best time to eat is in the middle of the day. You're at your peak mentally, everybody says, 4 or 5 hours after you wake up. You know, so I make my most important meetings of my day are between 10 and 12 o'clock in the morning, because that's when I'm at my peak attention, supposed to be the most crisp and, you know, and thoughtful. And so that's what I try to do. And the sleep is the same thing.
Well, I got to stop us there because we've run out of time, but I know we could go on for hours, but I really appreciate you joining me today and discussing all these issues, very thought provoking. And, you know, I appreciate having you on. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, Sleep Science Today and Sleep Better Tonight.